Hi, and welcome to the Data Engineering Podcast, hosted by Cynthia. I'm Jason Gould. I'll be looking after the discussion every week. We'll cover a host of topics like DevOps and tooling, programming languages, and strategies, and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy it. Hopefully, we'll catch you next time. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Engineering Podcast episode. Did we just say eight?
Eight.
Welcome to podcast number eight. We have with us a group of students today. They'll introduce themselves in a second. We're going to talk about, you know, starting a career in data engineering. And what's cool, what's hard, what's tough, what makes them stay awake at night or wake up crying in the morning. I'm Jason, as always, with me, as always again, I have Toma. Hi, Toma.
Hey.
And I have a bunch of newbies here. So guys, introduce yourselves, please.
Hello, my name is Bartol, and I attended summer school in July. And since August, I started working here.
Cool.
Hi, my name is Mate, and also like Bartol, I was in summer school, and I want to be a data engineer.
Cool.
Hi, my name is Lamia. As same as the guys, I've been here in the summer school, and then I started here actually after it finished. I started to work.
Hi, my name is Antonio, and I'm here just over 3 months in this company.
Cool. So, guys, maybe we should make it clear, because the summer school's been mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
That here at Cynthia, we run a summer school, and these guys all joined as part of that, and then obviously have decided to stay with us.
And now it's autumn.
Yeah. Now it's autumn, and this podcast won't be published for another 5 weeks
or so. Yeah, so all the recollections about summer school will be romantic and away.
Do you remember when?
Yeah.
So guys, what made you decide to do this for a startup? What attracted you to data engineering?
Mm-hmm. Well, I am last year of my college in computer science, and I am finding myself in working with data mostly, but we haven't learned anything about data engineering in college, and that was interesting to me, and I wanted to know what that is. So I applied for summer school and I got in, and this is a whole new area for me, and I'm really satisfied this far so far.
Cool.
Yeah, well, for me, after I finished college, I was like, okay, I was planning to like do data science and everything, like I kind of figured that part out. And then I was always interested, like, what was for that, like, where just data engineering comes in. And my friend actually told me, like, hey, like, I know you're into this, and there's this company, a friend of his also was here, and he told me, like, just maybe try it out. And then I did more research. I still couldn't figure out what data engineering is. And I was like, this is something I should maybe try out, like something new, interesting, because Antonio mentioned as well. We never learned that in college, or just the concept or anything was never mentioned. So it was something new. So yeah, that's it.
Cool.
For me, it was pretty much the same as Antonio. I never heard in college about data engineer, because their classes and everything don't mention it, and I was interested in where does data engineering come, who teaches it, and there was your presentation at FAIR that I listened to, and it was very good presentation, and I wanted to apply for data engineering and see what that is, and that's how I came here, and now I learn everything about it.
Well, I'm on my last year of college, and before summer I was thinking I want to do something in summer, and I read a lot about data engineering, and I thought it's a really, really fun job, and as for the time being here, I can say it was really fun, and I don't have any objection about it.
Cool.
That's good to know.
It is.
So that's So since all of you just confirmed that there is no data engineering specific course on the college, we are starting with one soon. It will be called Data Engineering in Cloud. And it will also have some kind of a part of that course will be DevOps. So it will also try to cover the DevOps practices in data engineering. Although I think that data engineering, I mean, as we mentioned a few episodes ago, is a subset of software engineering, and you did have a chance to learn about software engineering. So now my question is, how far is the distance between the regular software engineering that you learn in college, for instance, in structures and abstractions and programming methods, and the things that you're learning here? Is it just the different tools and different approach, or is it even more different? Because I last time I went to college, it was nearly last century, so we didn't learn a lot except to program in C.
I would say the tools and technologies are especially different from those used in college, because something like Kubernetes or every cloud platform, we don't have a chance to use it.
I think data is just a small part. Okay, you build a database and that's there, and you build on top of that backend and frontend. That is the main focus on college. And database just put some Postgres or something.
Okay, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I would say that in college there is more focus on some specific algorithms and something like that. There is no about data transferring or something like that.
I mean, to their defense, it's not easy to cover all the niches in a software development world. It's not easy to follow everything, and it's not easy to find professors, because what we are also kind of discussed in previous episodes, we are still struggling with explaining where data engineering fits in day-to-day IT work that is being done in companies.
But I think as well, I mean, you know, it's a branch of software engineering, and what you get is a foundation in software engineering. So, you know, when I sort of look at it from that respect, I wouldn't expect any student coming straight from university to be able to jump straight into being a software engineer either. No. There's still a lot of stuff to learn because you focus on specific technologies and things like that. And you know, data engineering's still relatively new and not massively well understood in the sort of traditional data engineering, in software engineering terms.
Yeah, that's why I just said that. I wouldn't criticize a lot the college for not introducing that course earlier or on their own. It is what it is. You can still find like a bigger part of the cake. We are niche. Data engineering is still a niche. And front-end development, mobile app development, web development, that's the mainstream. So if you learn about that, you are learning about the mainstream. So that's good. Cool. And what do you like about the tools that you are using daily? What is the main thing that kind of makes you happy when you see how it works? Is it parallel processing or...?
They make your life simpler.
Simpler, yeah. You can focus on...
And they're always new. There is always chance to learn something new. And that's the best thing about this job. It's challenging, but it also gives you opportunity to learn every day.
Okay.
Every day new term.
I was amazed by the DevOps part. On push on Git or something on merge, everything just automatically happens. Wow, that was nothing. I haven't seen that anywhere.
Yeah,
because you guys probably don't even use Git at university, do you?
We do not.
You guys do
group projects or something.
Yeah, for we use it in college for the professors also, like to have an overview of how much someone is contributing to a project.
So when I did mine, which predates C++ anyway, You know, when I got my first job outside of university and somebody said, okay, so this is the change control tool, I'm like, it's what? You know, just something that I'd never, the concept was completely foreign to me, my first job at uni. But then, you know, we were chiseling stuff into stone, so.
And you're also learning here the new organizational, I mean, what Jason is now mentioning and what you did, what you just mentioned, Antonio, that you have a Git Actions and everything happens automatically. This is not how it was 10 years ago. It changed a lot because now the deployment is, it also changed a lot with the organizational things that changed in the world of development software and working on projects when the move from waterfall to agile happened. Because before you would kind of create a change request, and on that change request you would define what needs to be done, and then you would have a deployment date set 3 months in advance. And then in 3 months, you know you have a working weekend when everyone stops working, then you are on your own and you have to upload all the changes and you have to change all the scripts and create all the updates. Now, with the agile movement and change in philosophy, when you want to deploy actually daily or in a very short frequencies, very small changes that will kind of mitigate the risk of you breaking the system with the change that is too big, now the DevOps is also pushed forward. I mean, it's not like people were stupid before and couldn't figure out the automation scripts. We wrote a lot of automation scripts before we didn't have such cool technologies, but it was just different. It was done differently. You wouldn't just change anything without like 10 sheets of paper with exact specification what needs to be changed into what.
I think Terraform's made a big difference there.
Terraform did, and Jenkins was the first one that moved things in that direction, in automation. So how do you like working in these tools in Agile, in Sprints, in Jira, in Confluence? Does it feel natural to you, or is it like you think maybe it's too much?
I can say from all the conversations and everything that Sprint is effective and it's better than waterfall, and I think that it's, for me it's natural. It's like something that needs to be done. That's how it should be done.
But it typically is then fits to your almost your term time, doesn't it? Because, you know, typically we look at a waterfall project as something that's going to take a year or 2 years or whatever, whereas you guys will be doing turn time projects which are maybe lasting a couple of months. So maybe actually that's why we notice actually you guys get on with agile stuff generally much easier than the older guys who have...
Huge problems online with Agile. I just couldn't figure out why we are doing these short periods, and actually I thought that, you know, it takes a lot of time for you to be able to dissect all the tasks that you have in such small pieces that you can actually do them in such a short period of time. But it's a skill. Once you got it, you got it. So it's good for you that you're getting it from the start and you're able to think in small pieces. Because, you know, before you would think, you know, I have to do that. How can I do it? I can't do it in 2 weeks, you know, I'll die trying. And actually you just need to see how to deploy it bit by bit.
Cool, so we've covered the stuff you like, which you all said much the same stuff. You know, it's cool to learn new stuff. It's interesting. There's new tools. We haven't done this before at college. What do you hate? Or what stresses you out? What don't you like? I don't know, hate's maybe too strong a word.
Well, I think as well as we mentioned, like that we like that we're learning new things. On the other hand, it can be kind of, you know, overwhelming.
Mm.
At one point, you come just like, oh my God, like so much information.
You just start off with I know nothing.
Yeah, and actually, like how it is, like you first come here and then everyone you hear people talking and you're like, I have no idea what you're saying. And after a few weeks, you're like, okay, I understand some words and then later on some concepts. And then when you come to that level, when you can understand a conversation, it kind of levels up and then more hard terms come. It's just a loop. You're always kind of in the process and then sometimes it gets overwhelming. Like, but
yeah, maybe that thinking that you will have to work as a data engineer for 2 years to understand something completely.
we are still like no little pieces or something like that. Maybe there's...
I'm going to let you guys into a big secret. So I've been doing this for 30 years and it's still the case. Yeah. So get used to that feeling of not actually having a clue what the hell's going on.
It was a great shock at the beginning, knowing nothing, and you are, I don't know, fifth year of college, and you know nothing about this. So every day, a lot of new information and new technologies. First day of summer school, 4 new technologies, let's go. Terraform, cloud, I don't know, a lot of new things. Yeah, programming languages, new, yeah, Kafka. Okay, we used Python and Kafka, don't kill them.
Interesting. I mean, at the same time, yeah, it's that's also open source world brought us that we have 15 different tools and we have to learn constantly. It's not just data engineering, although, I mean, the main issue with us is that we are working with integrate something that was before called integrations, data integration, system integrations. Now you can do all that stuff in software. You don't have to buy specific pieces of hardware or technology or frameworks to be able to do those integrations. Before, you would just buy a lot of stuff from the O company or from the 3-letter R company, and then you would just configure all these things, and then some things will work, some things won't. Now you have message broker that is open source like Kafka, and you have to learn about every single piece of that to be able to do a simple task. But at the same time, I can imagine that it's not super comfortable to be in a zone where you have to learn all the new tools, but you're also learning not just new tools, you're also learning the integration techniques, you're learning it from the software point of view, not from hardware. You don't have to learn about how to configure a SCSI card just to be able to plug in 6 devices in, which is and then with that knowledge you will be bound to that specific
The 90s is calling Tom out here with his
yeah
installing servers with SCSI cards in them,
yeah, moving jumpers.
Yeah, none of these discs are talking because all jumpers are in the same place.
Yeah, all jumpers are always in the same
place. I'm glad that I never heard of SCSI.
Well, it's fun, and now, yeah, I mean, it's I can imagine that it's not super comfortable and easy to learn all that stuff, but it's cool.
Yeah, I would say it's challenging process to learn something every day, but every now and then there's that moment of satisfaction,
yeah,
where you know, okay,
every now and then. Yeah. God. How do you get up in the morning? Every now and then there's just this moment of happiness.
I will tell you also a secret. The thing that we kind of figure out after a year of working in all these new technologies, which were mostly new to us when we started the company and when we went into that data engineering. I mean, we knew the concepts, but we had to learn the tools because some of the tools are like 2 years old. And then what we figured out is that we should focus on young people from college because you're used to learning. So it's not, you're not like learning for 5 years, then went to some company, then learn Spring Boot for next 6 months and then working in Spring Boot for 2 years. After those 2 years, you will not be super happy to have to learn 6 new tools and 6 new technologies in 6 months. But now,
but
after the college, it's like an extra year.
For me, this is super interesting because it's not like you can go out into the market and hire a guy who's been a data engineer for 15 years.
No,
they don't exist. So, you know, it. To us as an organization, it actually seems quicker to get somebody just straight from university and train them to be a data engineer than it is to take somebody who's been in the traditional way of working and then help them change to the sort of modern stuff. But for me, I think then there's also that experience part as well. It's a super interesting concept for us to... the average age here, by the way, 78% of the people that work for this company are under 35.
Yeah.
Tomo and I skew the figure quite a lot.
outliers.
yeah, we're definitely. Well, I am the outlier.
So how do we get to the final thought? So you said that you took data science classes in college. Do you find this satisfying, or you still would like to work on more? I mean, as I always said, data engineering, I don't make exclusivity on data engineering stuff. That means that if someone offers us to do some data science work, we won't say, no, we are data engineers, mm-hmm. we don't do data mm-hmm. science stuff. It's just that we think that data science is the next step. And we are still laying the foundation with data engineering. It's hard to be data scientist if you don't have the data to create science from. So what would you say, do you miss data science tasks here?
No, I have enough in college.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I really like job here because it's not one thing over and over. It's a wide spectrum of jobs you can do. I'm doing a little bit of front-end now, then database, then data engineering in cloud. Every week or 2 weeks something new. Mm. And that's exciting to me. Because when I'm doing something I'm used to, it's a lot to be 8 hours here and it gets boring. But if it's something new, it flies by. So I am satisfied here.
So you're not just sat looking at the same RDB console for 8 hours at a stretch?
Yeah. It's different consoles. It's three of them and they're all acting up.
Yeah, none of them are working properly. None of them will talk to each other. And is that the same for you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is kind of same. Well, for me, in college, my concept was different. We were more focused on like web and mobile development. So everything is like new to me. So I can't say like I had some tasks that I missed or something that I can compare to. So as Antonia said, like the days really pass by because you always have to figure things out and understand the concepts and test it out, and you're always kind of shifting from like one cloud to another and to learn Go and Kafka and use different message brokers. It's always movement. So I'd say like
and now and then feeling of satisfaction.
Yeah, now and then a feeling of satisfaction, yeah. But mostly a feeling of dread.
Yeah, I would say about data science is something, because Thomas now said that data engineering is just a layer before data science, so I don't have to think about that it will come later. So I will just be satisfied with data engineering to master it, and then I can go up next and learn about data science. But I can also say I'm thinking about data analysis like something data science. And we had in summer school already mentioned, we had some data analysts, so I can say it's not just data engineering, it's everything, but it's focused on data engineering, and I'm satisfied now with that.
So I think Marty perfectly explained, and just one thing I want to add about this job, I think really the best thing about here is the people. They're really awesome, they're always open to help you. And if you're struggling, you just have to know right thing to ask, and someone will always help you. So I think it's one of the best things here.
I mean, I think, and you guys are maybe for the first time in sort of my experience in this sort of unique position where, I think this is a never-ending job of learning at the moment. I think as we've progressed through the start of the 2000s into the 2010s, actually, the change in technology for me is accelerating. Most of the 90s for me were reasonably static. It didn't change a huge amount. It changed much slower. Whereas now I'm seeing, continental change coming much quicker. What was cutting edge in 2018 is now, in some instances, legacy. Whereas what was cutting edge in 1990 was still cutting edge in 1998.
Yes,
I'm still sort of seeing that acceleration of change much, much quicker. And I think then, therefore, if you're going to settle into data engineering, role, it's going to be one of constantly learning throughout your whole career because as stuff accelerates. And I think for me, much more so than if I was a software engineer, that's true. Software engineering, you know, you tend to learn your language and your frameworks and stuff like that and generally don't move around a giant amount in them. Whereas, you know, you guys are learning Go. Well, you know, next week you'll be learning Spark, Rust, or whatever it might be. Because I think it's, because it's still a relatively new field, the change, rate of change in it's really, really fast. And people are realizing you can do all sorts of stuff. You know, we see new products and new ways of doing stuff appearing all the time.
You don't have to fit everything in the box that you already have. You can just go and use the best tools that you can, because you have a wide variety of tools that you can pick from. You can choose whichever you want. In memory processing, there you go.
I mean, you guys, to me, you always seem to have big smiles on your faces whenever I see you. You always seem pretty happy. And I take that as a positive note, even though apparently it's just...
Makes people happy.
Yeah. I've heard today that it's constant dread with moments of happiness. But you're all smiling about it, so that's cool.
What life is.
Yeah.
It's like the baseline. So, you know, like
constant dread.
Constant dread, but with a smile. It's not constant dread with tears in your eyes.
No. Oh. But you guys all seem to be super happy and stuff and I like to learn. And I think that, as we mentioned earlier, you sometimes maybe have it a little bit easier than sort of I did coming into this. You know, data engineering when I started here was from a concept level, I was quite happy. From a actually all the terminology part, I'm like, wow, I have a lot to learn. And maybe you guys have it a little bit easier. I don't have to unlearn all the stuff I learned in the 90s. But it's nice to see lots of smiling young people about. Makes me realize how old I am.
You caught us.
Yeah, but I'm smiling because I'm insane, not because I'm happy. Cool.
You caught us in learning mode.
Yeah. So just, we can finish. I know where time's getting on. What would you change? What would you like to do differently? What do you think? Is there anything sort of in the data engineering, not in your day-to-day role here in the company, but actually from a data engineering perspective, what do you see that could be better? What would you change?
For instance, did you saw a tool that could be easier to use with better interface, with better APIs or something? Did you have any? I mean, I know when I started that I had a lot of tools that I didn't like, but more or less those tools are now replaced with better ones. So.
Yeah, I think I don't have enough skill to change something for better, but I think people should make Terraform better.
Okay. So you've been battling with Terraform then?
Yeah, but it's not his fault, I think.
You shared the responsibility
with
the guys from HashiCorp. Yeah.
Cool. Anything?
Thinking. I don't know.
Don't yet. Have enough experience to say what you
change. Yeah, I
don't
know if I could say, like, this is, you know, I can kind of compare things and say, like, this is good, this is bad.
Is there anything at the back of your mind you think, God, this should be easier?
Secrets managing.
Secrets managers.
Which?
Oh my God.
We didn't try that easier.
I mean, I can remember back in summer school, there was some problem about, permissions on cloud in Asia or something like that. And there was Marco who solved it like 2 days. It took him to solve it 2 days. So for me, knew I would like 1 year, I would need the time to solve it. So maybe just for those cloud platforms to have better tutorials or something like that.
It's for synapses.
Yeah. And it's like just some maybe better explanation for that. I don't know. Maybe that's back in my mind.
About cloud. And do you guys feel that the cloud platforms have changed since you started? How many updates have there been onto the tools you're using in cloud? Because I'm curious, because you tell you about training. Well, if you're changing something fairly regularly, it's kind of difficult to keep the training up to date. And I know that I used to suffer a lot with reading documentation for something and then realizing that it's like 2 years old. And it's no longer applied. I'm like, why can't I find this? Well, because they deprecated it a year ago. Do you guys find that it's changing regularly, or is it much the same as when you first started?
Well, in these 3 months, I think there aren't large changes. Yeah. It's okay.
I think we didn't have enough knowledge maybe to notice those same changes, but
it's still working.
So start noticing it in a year, I guess. In a year, for instance, what kind of frustrated me a bit was that we would take like one version of Airflow, and then we would sit and write the pieces that we were missing. Like we would write 6 or 7 operators, and then we would go through the process of committing those changes to a public database on Airflow. And in the meantime, they would release a new version with those operators. So then it's like, okay, guys, but maybe you could announce what you're working on so I can wait for maybe a few weeks. So that's the only frustrating thing that I think with the open source tools, that sometimes they're not announcing what they're working on very frequently.
Mm. But then maybe in a position where they don't necessarily know 100%.
No, of course, they have contributors, but whenever you open a branch and if you want to contribute to one of the softwares, you have to write up what exactly are you planning to do. So then that can go into announcement.
No.
But I know it's not simple.
No,
I'm just saying I don't kind of hold it against them. I'm just kind of, maybe I could wait. And then you're looking at it and something, mine is better. Which again is not the smartest thing to do, because everyone else in the world are going to use the second operator. You just write it off. There it goes, 2 weeks.
Yeah. So thank you guys. I hope to see you all continually smiling over the coming weeks, months, and hopefully years. That you, nobody leaps out of windows or decides to go and, you know, become a monk or a nun or something instead.
Or both.
Yeah, or both. thank you guys for today. Really appreciate
it. Thanks
for having
us.
It's really fun.
And thanks everybody listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.